We're back, Pods fans, for another episode of Ring the Bell Podstock. Nick Kreider here, joined as always by the three-time All-Star Heath Bell. We are struggling as a team right now. We had some pretty bad road trips, and we have an injury. Profar had a really scary injury the other day. We're glad he's okay, left the field with just a concussion. But we did have one bright spot the other night. Heath and I were just mentioning, Estre Ruiz gets called up to play center field in his debut, his first at bat. It's a single right up the middle. Pretty awesome to see the guy who was turning the cover off the ball in AAA.
Yeah, I like Ruiz. I mean, he looked really comfortable up to bat. I mean, I heard he changed his swing a little bit. I mean, a little dictate on him. He started in AAA. They moved him down to AA, fixed a few things, started crushing the ball. They moved him back up. You know, if he keeps getting on base and stealing like he can steal up to 100 bags this year. He's got a lot of potential, and I like how the Padres have actually gone to the farm system.
Yeah.
You know, Grissom's not cutting it. It's mid season now. We have to really say, I mean, I don't know if he's got any options, but if he has options, send him down. Otherwise, you know, we got to bench him and figure out something going on. I mean, Will Myers is hopefully coming back. Profar's hurt, so we don't know how long he's coming back, but Ruiz, I mean, he's the only bright star that we have so far.
Yeah.
Of us not playing well.
I would say, to the point of Grisham, is we used to always think, okay, well, he's not hitting very well, but his defense makes up for it. And lately, his defense has been trash. Dropped a fly ball that was on the run, but he still should have made that catch. He's misread a couple balls that got past him for triples, and one was an inside the park home run. So there's no excuses anymore. The thing is,
I think he's just frustrated.
I'm sure he is. That's why
defense is not, he's not playing up to where he thinks he can play.
Well, he's also 25 years old. So I'm thinking to myself, if we can go out and try to trade him, someone probably thinks he still has potential, right? There's still some in the tank. He's 25 years old, hasn't hit his prime yet. Maybe we go out, get a bat, and make him the centerpiece of a trade package.
Yeah, he would definitely see. This is the thing, is I hope, like I was talking last time, the Padres are not going to go do anything. But Grissom, you know, is one of those, you know, we thought he was going to be the future or whatnot, but he's not doing well. You know, you have another guy right there, Ruiz. It looks like he could be a center fielder. So let's go with him until we have a bona fide guy that lives up to it for the next like 2 or 3 years and trade Grissom somewhere.
Yeah. You know, by the hot hand.
Yeah. Right now, that's what we need to do. We need to, I mean, we're 7 games back. I mean, what, 2 weeks ago, we were like in first place.
We were in first place.
And all of a sudden we just, I mean, it's glad that we played so well early to be in this predicament where we've played like shit. We've played like crap, right? And we're 7 games back. We're 7.5 back now. So we got to get some guys hitting. That's plain and simple. I mean, we can't just live on Machado hitting 300. Eric Hosmer is batting like 270, but really he's batting probably like 220 just because he was hitting close to 400, you know, the first month, the 6 weeks of the season. Profar's hurt and he was, you know, hitting 240, you know, creeping up to 250. And then, you know, Kim is hitting pretty good around 240, and so is Coneworth. So we need some guys hitting in the 260s, 270s, you know.
Is that asking for too much?
You know, normally, no. I remember when I was playing, I mean, we'd have guys hitting like 260 and they're like, man, I'm normally a 300 hitter or trying to get up to 300. And I'm like, well, if you're 280 is respectable, 260. And now I'm looking at the Padres going 230, 240. Wow, that's bad.
Yeah. So can we at least get someone who gets 250, just 1 for 4? Let's do it.
Then, you know, here's the one part that I did not realize. I don't know if you realize, Snell got his first win.
He did. Yeah. It wasn't even his first win. It was the first time the team won when he pitched.
Well, no. So he officially has a win.
Yeah, exactly. He's got a win on his record, but also the Padres, regardless of his record, their own record, he didn't win a game when he was pitching. So he's been pitching pretty well.
Surprising to me. I was my gosh.
It's got to happen at some point, but he's striking guys out.
He won and I went, holy shit, that was his first win. Like, yeah. Because he's been pitching pretty good. And I was like,
you remember last season, he had a very rough start to the season. And then after the All-Star break,
was it?
Well, no, just the first half of the season, he just had blow up innings, right? Where he would throw like 30 or 40 pitches in an inning. And like, we've seen that a lot this year as well. And then he found his groove late in the season and then was dominant all of August and September. He just was lights out. So hopefully he rides what he has right now. I mean, he's been striking. He had 11 strikeouts, 12 strikeouts, and hopefully he can just avoid those big innings. That's really the biggest thing. He had one the other day in that win where I think it was like the third inning where he loaded the bases. He threw like 30 plus pitches and I was like, uh-oh, here we go again. But he got out of the jam. So if he can just continue to find that momentum, that might be a nice little addition to our rotation there.
Yeah, it would be really nice to him to find his groove, especially late in the season like this. You know, going from like, for me, I look at like the guys were, like I said last time, I felt like they were a little tired, sluggish. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was the 4th of July weekend. There was so much going on. Maybe they were going out. Maybe there weren't. I don't know. But it just, it kind of seems like they're just, that as they call it, the dog days of summer.
Yeah.
Right at the All-Star break. It just seems like the Padre groove, they've lost their mojo or something. Mm-hmm. And that's where I see it as a player. What do you think you see? Because like, I was in the trenches, I was there. Sometimes you just do well, you lose a mojo because somebody gets hurt or whatever. You sometimes something happens in the clubhouse. Like I'll give you an instance. There was one time we went, it was a family trip and a girlfriend was out at the pool with the family, but the girlfriend was a girlfriend to a married guy. So it was one of those things that we had to talk to him and say, hey, this is a family trip.
Yeah.
We got to stop this out. And then it was just awkward. That series, so awkward. That 4-game series was real awkward because he was like, no, she's here for somebody else. It's so-and-so. I'm like, dude, give us a break. Give me a break. Right. I actually talked to him. I'm like, hey, I talked to him off the side and went, look, I get it. Not judging, but that's just not right because wives are going to start talking. Anyway, right. The player's divorced now, but
who thought that was going to happen? Who saw that coming?
Pretty much all the wives.
Yeah.
It's one of those things. So like something is happening with the pods. Yeah. I don't know. It's just the mojo is gone. So what do you think? What do you see? Is just, being a fan or whatnot? Cause I always like talking to fans and seeing.
Right. From my perspective, they look exhausted. That's really what it is. I think a lot of them, there's been a lot of injuries. We have to be probably one of the most injured teams in baseball with Tatis, Manny going down for a little bit, our bullpen, now Profar, Nick Martinez got hit in the ankle the other day. So he may be out for a little bit. That's the biggest thing that, to me, is a lot of these guys look like they're overworked and they're exhausted. And they've played a lot of games without any breaks. I mean, maybe it's just because we started the season so late. That extra 2 weeks they had to catch up and put games back to back. We've had stretches where there was like 15, 16 games in a row. And that's got to be exhausting. I'm looking at the All-Star break and I know it's not that long of a break, but it is a few days off for guys to hit the reset button and to just find their groove again and just to relax a little bit. Hopefully they come out of that break energized and ready to roll. But yeah, it's demoralizing when you have guy after guy go down and I think game after game and the offense too, the struggles, the woes, it's not about on base percentage either. These guys are getting on with walks and singles, but we're 28th in the league in slugging percentage. They're not getting extra base hits. They're not hitting home runs. There's no triples. There's no doubles. It's all singles and walks.
Well, that there you go. If our front office, and I'm pretty sure our front office is all about, the numbers, like the money ball, that's on base percentage. That's all that really matters.
Right.
No, it doesn't. You got to score runs. You got to get a hit late in the game. But I mean, going back to like, our normal shortstop isn't an everyday player. We don't really have an everyday first baseman. Our DH, I know DH is a little bit different, but it's really a mental game. Even though you're not playing defense, you're just hitting to sit there and think about your bats. It's almost like golf. There's so much time to think. It's not a normal DH that does it every day. Mm-hmm. And, basically our outfield isn't like, I think we only have one true outfielder that's really there every day. So now we're talking about a bunch of players that are role players that we've asked to play everyday guys, right. To be every day. And trust me, I was there. I'm older now. I'm probably wiser now. I was probably dumb and stupid or whatnot. But you think you can do everything. It's like, oh, no, I could play every day. I should be, this. Well, there's a mental part and a physical part that sometimes doesn't work. And like, for me in the bullpen, I took pride when I was younger to pitch multiple days in a row, where guys don't pitch multiple days in a row, but like taking it to a position player to jog out there every day, to not just sit there. I mean, it's nice and it's great. And the guys were tearing it up. But then after 2 months of doing it, 3 months of doing it, it's exhausting. That's why I say it's a marathon season. And we have half of our team if our normal guys were there playing and nobody was hurt and everybody was just doing their thing, half of our roster would be sitting on the bench.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of those things that they're tired. They're exhausted. The All-Star break can't come quick enough, basically. So
yeah, there's just a lot of guys that look to be struggling that didn't have this bad of a start. One of the guys I'm looking at, and this is your form position, is the closer Taylor Rogers, right? He's been very bad within these last few games. I'm pulling up his stats right now. In his last, let's see, his last seven games, he owns an 8.22 ERA. Last 15 games, 7.53. He was lights out for the first 15 games of the season and then just out of nowhere just fell off. What do you see?
And I'm not going to say anything to, you know, Rogers, I think, is pretty solid, but is he a true closer? Does he have that mentality where you have one time that somebody blows up, you know, the first time he gave us some runs and then all of a sudden he blew a game. Ever since he blew his first save, it just kind of been downhill.
Spiraled.
Does he feel like he doesn't have it anymore? Does he feel not invincible anymore because his numbers are showing? It's a very mental part being a closer. And not everybody, you have good pitchers that could do it, but not every pitcher can be a closer. They can have, you know, you can get on hot streaks and just dominate, but it basically says if you can have 30 or more saves multiple years in a row, it kind of shows that, hey, you have the mentality of doing really well and being a closer, but not too many guys do that. I mean, nowadays it's just whoever's got the hot hand. Here's the thing. I hope the guys are talking to him. I hope Trevor Hoffman could come down and chit chat with him a little bit and maybe talk, see where his head's at. I don't know if Trevor's doing that. I don't know if.
Why don't you do it?
I don't have Tyler's number. If I had Tyler's number, Tyler, give me a call. You know, you can trust me. You can get a hold of me. Ask Spencer. If you're listening to this, ask Spencer. Spencer, you got my number. Give me a call. We'll just chit chat. Because the mental part is the huge part. You have to literally think your shit doesn't sink 24/7.
Yeah, of course.
Even though you know deep down your shit stinks.
Right.
Like the worst thing about a closer is when you blow a game, you're pissed. You want to break up your locker room. You want to throw something. You want to, okay, you're just not happy. Mm-hmm. Okay. Then you got to go talk to the press and explain why you were dog shit. You know,
right.
Like why you were not good and blah, blah, blah. It's easy to do when you do well. It's just that gut of like, great, I got to talk to these guys again, you know, and you don't want that feeling. But so I took it as I don't want to talk to these guys in this aspect. So therefore I'm going to try my best and I'm going to try harder. I'm going to work harder. I'm going to go find out what I did wrong. Mm-hmm. Was it mechanically? Did I just miss my pitch? Did I throw the wrong pitch? Did the catcher call the wrong pitch? Did it not break? Did it break? Was the shift on? Find out what it was and put it back in your memory bank or on your cheat sheet that everybody has now. And, you know, don't do that again.
I almost wonder if Preller puts a premium on adding a closer this deadline. Taylor Rogers hasn't been a closer his entire year. And then he was named the closer to start this season. He was great. But what if we move him into a different role, right? A lefty specialist or maybe a setup man, and we go out and add a closer. There's a guy on the Orioles right now, Jorge Lopez, who is 1.7 ERA, 17 saves. I mean, he looks like a pretty good option. It's the Orioles. They want to trade to get as many pieces as they can. I feel like that's
the one. Well, here's the thing. AJ, if you're going to go do that, that's good. That's going to help our team. But here's the thing. Our problem is our offense. You have to address our offense.
Right.
Maybe Taylor Rogers is trying too hard because that does happen with pitchers, that knowing we're not going to score. We're not going to score. So you put so much pressure on you, even added the pressure that normally you have out there, and you're just not doing it.
Right.
You know, I think Taylor's a good enough pitcher where he'll figure things out, hopefully. He's good enough to figure things out, but it's just like if he's putting too much pressure on himself, it's just one of those things. So I just don't want the Padres to go out and go, okay, well, we needed a closer. Okay, makes sense. But what's our number one need? What's our main problem? We're not scoring. Our offense,
yeah. Well, you can make multiple trades. I mean, he's done it before.
No, I know, but
it's funny because
I'm not on the AJ train.
I look at some of these like articles sometimes of like who are good trade candidates and who's in the mix for players, and it's funny. Like there's, I'm looking at a top 20 list right now for impact trade arms and impact trade bats. And the Padres is listed as the potential suitor for like almost every single player because no one knows who AJ ever wants to go after. He wants to go after anyone and everyone.
Yeah. It's just, does he go out and get what he needs? Like the Yankees last year went and got a middle reliever because they needed middle relief. And now he's their main closer.
Yeah. And they got Rizzo and he's their stud first baseman.
Yeah. And I mean, they definitely had to sign him and stuff, but here's the thing. Go find somebody, get what you need. Yankees needed a first baseman. So they went and got a first baseman. They went and got a middle reliever. Go get. Don't go. Well, okay. Well, we're going to, that's where I was talking about last time. Are the Padres just happy? Or let me put it this way, because I know the owners want to win a championship. By far, I've never had a doubt the Padres owner want to win a championship.
Yeah.
But when I say the front office, I'm talking about AJ and his team. Yeah, they'd like one, but what are they really trying to do? Because it's just weird because, like, you know, you had Will Myers makes the All-Star team, does great. Let's go sign a first baseman. But he was at first base, and he did a great job at first base. And who was saying that he's a better outfielder than a first baseman? Nobody.
Right. Well, I think he also may have expressed interest that he didn't like playing first base. And if a guy doesn't want to play a position,
but here's the thing, then you don't sign the guy.
Right.
I want you. So every team has to have understanding. Every player has to realize this happens more in football, sometimes in basketball, more in football, but it happens in baseball too. Greg Biggio was a catcher.
Yep.
But he's a all-star second baseman. He came up and they actually put him at third base his first year and then moved him over to second base. Never played second base in his life, but he was willing to be like, okay, this is the best thing for the team because the team thinks this is the best thing for my future. Okay. There's a lot of people. There's not one guy that goes, hey, I think you're not an outfielder. You should be a first baseman or infielder. That's where we needed somebody. You did a great job. We think you have a future there and a future with us there. And if he's like, no, I want to be in the outfield, say, okay, well, maybe the future's not with us here.
Right. Well, you talk about when we traded for that or when we signed that first baseman, Eric Hosmer. I know early on when we started doing these shows, sure, you were a big advocate for him. And then he proved all of us wrong, had a great 2-week stretch in April where
he's all proving me wrong.
And now he is proving me right and proving you wrong.
But see, has not been Eric, well. I think, is a great clubhouse guy.
Well, so that's my question for you, right? Yeah. They're always going to try to trade him because the contract is really bad and it gets cheaper the next 3 years, because it drops from $20 million a year to $13 million a year. So it gets a little bit easier. However, if we do decide to find a trade candidate or a partner, someone that wants to take Eric on, how is that going to affect our locker room?
Well, you have to understand. So really Eric was, I think, the locker room kind of guy. He might still be the guy, but to me, it kind of started to seem like Machado's the guy.
Yeah.
And Tatis Jr. is now kind of solidified and he's the guy. So now really, if you look at our locker room, and I'm not giving anything, I think Eric's a great guy and I think he's a great ball player. We have three locker room guys. We don't have just one and they're all infielders. And then you have the starters all together, Mo and Joe, you know, the bullpen's probably doing their thing, but Tatis isn't there, but he's there, but Machado's kind of like been that guy. So Captain. I think Eric was it. And then Machado came in. He was the big name, but Eric was still kind of that mediator between, like, hey, I'm kind of a big name, but he's the bigger name. And then Tatis became this, you know, grown up, you know, as a child to a grown up. And then he kind of is in where Eric is right now. And Machado's kind of probably taken the more role of Hosmer about talking to guys because, you know, he jokes around with guys and does stuff. And they've gone out on his birthday and all that stuff. So it's kind of transitioned over to probably Machado. Now, I don't know this for a fact, but I'm just saying this from the outside. You have locker room guys that are great. And then eventually, like, I'll give you, Scott Linebrink was a locker room guy for us. And I got traded in the end of 06, beginning of 07 to the Padres, but it was rumored that I was going to get traded for Scott Linebrink from the New York Mets, and the trade didn't go through. It got pulled right at the last second because he was our main locker room guy. And then the next year they got me for a different trade, I guess. And he was that locker room guy, but then the team started molding in a different direction in 07. They ended up trading Linebrink to Milwaukee. And which for us, we got Joe Thatcher, a left-handed reliever that we needed. We had no lefties in our bullpen. That team was, we really gelled together and we did a lot of things together. But I think the previous year in 06, Scott Linebrink probably was that guy.
Right.
But in 07, he wasn't that guy anymore.
Well, so what you're saying is year to year, it's different, right? Every team is different. And if this was the Padres 3 years ago, 4 years ago, then it would have been tough to lose a guy like Eric Hosmer because he's that locker room guy. But now that we have multiple locker room guys, we may not need him in the locker room if he's struggling. Right.
Well, I think if here's the thing, we went out and got multiple guys that can play first base now.
Yeah, exactly.
So Cronenworth now it's almost like a gridlock. Eric doesn't play every day.
Right.
He's on right now. Eric Hosmer is a role player. I'm sorry to say it, but he's a role
Don't
player. He
sorry.
Doesn't play every day.
I'm happy. You know,
so therefore, if you're not an everyday guy, you're not going to be, nobody's going to really look up to you.
Right.
You know, you're going to have a little stint because you're the veteran, but this isn't a huge young team.
Right.
Like Tony Clark back in the day, he was great with Detroit, Arizona. He was pretty good, but he was there for Arizona because they were very, very, very young. Mm-hmm. And he was there to show everybody exactly what to do.
Right.
And so they actually signed him. I'm a good friend with Tony. When he was a player, everybody knows him as, you know, the union guy, but I was good friends with him. And he said they actually kept him on for two more years because they wanted that veteran presence in the locker room, even though he wasn't going to play every day. Mm-hmm. That was his job, is to mentor the other guys. So that's literally what he tried to do. And he got to play once or twice a week. Well, Eric isn't playing three times a week now, but we didn't sign him to be that veteran guy. He's just an all-around great guy, but he's not producing and not playing, and we're trying to win a championship, and that's one of the positions that if we can find somebody to take Eric and we get something in return, you do it. You know, I just don't think you just dump him for money-wise, but I think if you can find somebody that we need, like if you get say Baltimore will take him and we'll give him a prospect in Eric Hosmer, to get, you know, somebody in the bullpen that's doing really well, then we go for it. But we also need an offensive player.
Or bring him back to Kansas City and then see if we can swing a deal for Benintendi.
Yeah, something like that. So we need offense, but like, it's one of those things. Maybe he's a better American League guy than a National League guy. That does happen.
I agree with you there. As a fan, it's frustrating, but at the same time, like, you don't want to see the locker room unravel because, you know, one of their friends.
Yeah, but you know what? Everybody's friends with everybody, and it's shocking when you see somebody
business.
Go. But
it's
you
a business.
Have you at the end of the day, you know, it's a business.
Exactly.
And at the end of the day, you're trying to win a championship, and you got to go out there and
you got to know it's not personal.
You have to know. Everybody knows on the team when Scott Linebrink got traded. We all in the bullpen, we were bummed, but we knew we needed a left-handed reliever.
Yep.
You know, and then, you know, when they traded Jake Peavy away, and then they traded
that was tough.
But it was like, we're not trying to win. They're just trying to dump salary. And then Adrian Gonzalez. And then it just seemed like, well, they're just trying to dump people. Like when they were trying to, they traded Scott Linebrink away. Great guy, good pitcher. I ended up taking his role, but I was pitching the seventh inning. And occasionally I pitched some eighth innings before, you know, when he had his off day. We were trying to win.
Right.
And we had so much good bullpen, but we didn't have any lefties in AAA, and we needed a lefty. And so they went out and got Joe Thatcher from the Milwaukee Brewers.
I'm sure those are exciting times. That's a little bit of motivation. Yes, like you're bummed to see that guy go. At the same time, you're thinking to yourself, okay, ownership, upper management, whatever you want to call it, they're going out to get the pieces for us to win. I remember that one season where we traded for Ryan Ludwig and Miguel Tejada. Oh, yeah. Like it didn't work out, obviously, but I think that probably got people super excited. Like, okay, they're ready to go. Like they want
to
win.
We're going to try to win. We're going for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that the reason it didn't work out that time is because we had a bunch of part-time guys and everybody was feeding off each other. And then all of a sudden our part-time guys, like we had two guys in the outfield, all of a sudden those two guys didn't play and just Ludwig played. So, and Tatis just played. And all of a sudden it was like,
you know,
everybody got a little cold.
You remember who we gave up to get Ryan Ludwig?
We got rid of
Corey Kluber.
Kluber.
Isn't that crazy?
Corey Kluber and no, that was the Jim Edmonds trade, the third baseman.
Well, let's hope the boys get back on track. All-Star break is coming up. We're going to give you a special All-Star episode next week because Heath is very fond of the All-Star game. He's got some iconic moments.
It's the three of them. Never thought I would go.
Well, you did. And you gave Padres fans a lot of great memories. But stay tuned for that. But Padres, let's go, baby.
Come on, Pods, wake up.
Let's get back on track. Wake up, boys. Pod Sock, ring the bell. Heath Bell, Nick Kreider. We'll see you next time.